You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we find out why encouraging activism among girls might mean getting out of their way. But first, when President-elect Trump assumes office in less than 20 days, he'll inherit more than 100 unfilled federal judge seats throughout the country. Our next guest joins us to talk about why there are so many empty seats and what unique challenges could face President-elect Trump as he appoints judges nationwide, including the highest seat in the land, the Supreme Court. Rick Essenberg joins us now. He's the founder, president, and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Rick, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, why are there so many upcoming empty judicial seats?
Well, there are a lot of federal judges, and there's a fair amount of turnover. There are more vacancies coming out of the Obama administration than there were out of the Bush administration, but we've seen a change in the rules, and the rules were actually changed by the Democrats because they didn't want a guy named Miguel Estrada to be confirmed in the D.C. Circuit, and so they essentially blocked his nomination, and so the rules have changed, and we have filibusters for the lower courts, and it becomes, I think, much more difficult to move a nomination. Now, you can look at that two different ways. It certainly does block the ability of an administration to get precisely the judges that it wants, but it also forces compromise. So there have been examples of, you know, the ability to get some judges confirmed if they were judges that both sides could agree on. But the difficulty is, given the movement in the law over the years and differences in our conceptions of what judges should do and how much discretion they should exercise, it has, over the long run, become more important to know a judge's philosophy as opposed to simply knowing whether she's a really good lawyer or not. And that leads to what look like political conflicts and sometimes difficulty in getting people confirmed.
I've seen the number slightly upwards of 100 as far as the open judgeships that look to be filled during the Donald Trump presidency. How does that compare with what we might have seen during the previous 8 years of Barack Obama's presidency?
Yeah, you know, I don't want to hold me to the numbers, but I think that there was something in the 50s at the end of the Bush administration going into President Obama's first term.
Just by sheer force of numbers, does that mean we're going to be looking at a kind of overhaul of the makeup of the judiciary in the country?
And we always have that every time, you know, the presidency changes. I mean, the federal judiciary looks a lot different today than it did 8 years ago. 8 years ago, probably a majority of the circuit courts of appeals had what you would call a conservative majority. You have to be a little bit careful when you use these terms with judges, but I think it's still nevertheless a fair term to use. Right now, I think an overwhelming majority of the circuit courts of appeals have what you'd call a liberal or progressive majority, and that will probably change back during the Trump administration, although it's a little bit hard to say. You know, Donald Trump has said and made a campaign issue out of the fact that he was going to appoint conservative constitutionalists to the court. I actually think that had he not done that, he would not have won the election. But he himself shows very little evidence of being a conservative constitutionalist. And so I think time will tell whether he actually appoints those types of judges to the federal bench.
Well, and obviously the biggest seat that's open is the Supreme Court seat, filling in the role that was played by Antonin Scalia. What do we know about what kind of justice Donald Trump has said that he's looking for to fill that seat?
Well, he has said that he's going to nominate a conservative constitutionalist. He's given us a list of 21 people that he would consider for that vacancy and promised that he would appoint from that list. So, you know, people like me, you know, people that are in the sort of conservative and libertarian legal movement, really like his list. I mean, we really like people like Don Willett and Diane Sykes and Bill Pryor. And I think that for this vacancy, I think you can expect him to do what he said he would do. I think it would create a great deal of consternation and revolt among the Republicans if he departed from that, and I think would jeopardize things that, you know, to be honest, he may care more about than the Supreme Court vacancy.
Now, Scalia was, as I understand it, an originalist, someone who looked to the original intent of the writers of the Constitution. You're talking about a constitutionalist. How would you compare those two terms?
Well, I mean, I think I'm sort of using the same term, right? The idea is that to what extent does a judge believe that he or she can find some contemporary legal meaning in the Constitution, and how do you go about doing that? So on the one side, you have people who sort of emphasize what's sometimes called textualism, which basically is a fancy word to say that, well, you know, we're going to give constitutional provisions the meaning that the language suggests, that we're going to read it as it was written. But language is not always precise, and sometimes you have to try to resolve ambiguities. And an originalist would, and there are various forms of originalism, but would believe that what you really need to do is you need to get at the original public meaning of this provision, that because we use constitutional provisions to restrain what our democracy can do, we declare laws of Congress unconstitutional, acts of the president unconstitutional. In order for that to be legitimate, we have to be enforcing a legal principle that at some point in our past we democratically adopted. And the only way really to limit yourself to doing that is to try to ascertain this sort of original public meaning. Now, that doesn't mean that a principle can't be applied to new circumstances. So, for example, we have the Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures, and you know, we have to ask ourselves whether forms of technological surveillance that didn't exist at the time the Fourth Amendment was adopted nevertheless constitute a search and seizure. But we can still attempt, insofar as possible, to apply this original principle that was that we adopted at some point in our history.
And, Rick, as we wrap up, Democrats have said that the amount of obstruction from Republicans in confirming President Obama's picks was unprecedented. How much power do Democrats in the Senate have to block or at least make very difficult the confirmation of Donald Trump's picks?
Well, they have some. They've given up some of it in the sense that, you know, they went to the nuclear option on lower court judges. You know, I think one of the things that we've seen happen, and it's unfortunate over the past 8 years, is that particularly in the Senate, senators have, you have to sort of lay the blame on the Democrats for this because they were the ones who held the White House, that senators have become less concerned with the Senate as an institution and seen it more as a way to facilitate whatever the executive wants. And so the real question that we are going to have going forward is, now that the Republicans have the White House and control the Senate, are the senators, the Republican senators, going to see themselves in that way? Are they going to see their role as facilitating what President-elect Trump wants, or are they going to see themselves as preserving the privileges and the prerogatives of the Senate as an institution?
Rick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Rick Essenberg is the founder, president, and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. He joined us to talk about the more than 100 open judicial seats that President-elect Donald Trump will inherit when he takes office in just a couple of weeks.